Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
405 DGS, happy Tuesday to you. Dave Murray joins us. What was that?
It's this song. As a child, I would hear this song and get so depressed.
It's not a happy song.
No, not at all.
It's not a happy song.
Yeah.
But you know, look at all your friends now. You know, they're all here right in front of you.
You never know what he's going to say.
Is that
We're
lyrics?
Always holding our breath.
What?
Was it lyrics from the song? What was it? What,
no, because he's talking about all the lonely people.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And he's saying, I'm not one of the lonely people.
I can't be lonely anymore.
But I felt so bad for the lonely people. I still do.
You're just crying just now. I'm like,
wiping a tear away.
Take it easy, Rage.
I mean, it's all right.
And Andrew, it scared you?
Yeah, it kind of freaked me out. Something about the, like, you know.
Staccato?
Yeah, the jarring kind of strings in there. Mm. Spooky.
Trish, what to do to you? Makes me hungry.
Bebop.
do we get, like, appreciable rain last night today,
yeah,
Dave?
Yeah, officially, I think we'll be between a half inch and three quarters of an inch. You go a little further west-southwest, 1 to 2 inches of rain. Yeah, so close, but actually kind of a nice soaking rain. Not that we overly need it, but it's always nice to get a little bit of rain like we had. Some interesting stats for you. Now, this includes today. Might surprise you. In the month of August, we've had 8 days of above average temperatures. We've had 8 days of below average temperatures.
Hmm.
Hmm. Makes you think, doesn't it?
Evening out, I guess.
Yes. Mother Nature has a way of doing that. Now, I don't have the high and low for today yet, but right now the month is running 1.6 degrees above average. After today, that's going to come down quite a bit because it rained a good portion of the day. It was kind of a cool rain. Felt like fall.
Is there something called, I just read something yesterday. Is there something called the heat wave belt or something?
Yes.
Some sort of belt?
Rach did it on the show yesterday.
Oh, for real?
During what segment? With Dave.
We talked about it. Yeah.
I don't know what I was doing.
You heard about it 24 hours ago right now.
That's what I was just seeing if you guys knew.
Not anymore. We knew yesterday. We don't know.
Dave, when's our next bout of rain?
Next bout of rain will be over the weekend in the form of scattered showers and a couple of thunderstorms. No all-day rain. It's just some great weather coming up for tonight, though a lot of clouds are out. Tomorrow, maybe a few clouds first thing in the morning, but overall, partly to mostly sunny. 80 degrees for the high, so a good portion of the afternoon in the 70s. 62 Wednesday night. Thursday, sunny. 82 Friday, partly sunny. 85 temperatures over the weekend, about 85 degrees. Not bad.
Dave Murray's forecast is brought to you by Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling.
Headlines, Rach.
And Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Earn points and save money with the Schnucks Rewards app. Download it today. Let's get to some headlines that maybe you haven't heard today, even though I'm sure you've heard this one. First Lady Jill Biden has tested positive for COVID-19 during a family vacation. You guys, I just really hope this doesn't lead to President Biden getting COVID for the third time.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
but with his luck,
silly.
It's on the way.
It's like tripping over the same pothole 8 times.
I know. But we hope that she has mild symptoms. We hope she feels all the way better soon. Six Flags is aiming to raise their prices everywhere, not just here in St. Louis, to get rid of their rowdy teenagers. According to the CEO of Six Flags, the amusement park has turned into a daycare for teenagers as a result of providing too many discounts.
I mean, I read that. I'm like, hasn't that what it's always been? I remember.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. I'm just going to say it. Sure. I think every generation has, like, quote unquote, troublemakers. But the worst troublemakers from our generation weren't nearly as bad as the middle of the pack now. I just think it's empirically true. You just look at the videos. That stuff did not happen at Six Flags.
Yeah, we just ran around looking for boys. That was about it.
Yeah, ditto.
And I would go, I mean, I haven't been since I was a teenager.
Didn't get past us.
We would run around by ourselves, but every time I was there, there was still an adult in my life at the park.
Like my dad took us and was hanging out at Hurricane Harbor
or something.
Who would come down on you like a ton of bricks.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not that we were looking to cause trouble. I don't know why you would want to go to an amusement park and not just have fun. Like, why are you going there to, like, start fights and stuff?
There's
it doesn't make any sense.
Everything there for fun.
Thought this was pretty exciting because we have a Wally's. And this is so weird because yesterday I almost said to you, Andrew, on one of the breaks, like, man, I'm feeling another Wally's trip coming up.
I've been feeling the same way.
Well, we're going to have to make that happen. But ground is going to be broken soon on the first ever Bucky's in Missouri, which is very similar to Wally's.
Bucky's? Same kind of deal?
Same kind of deal. Like, tons of gas pumps.
A wall of meat?
Yes, it's huge. It's even bigger than Wally's. And this is going to be in Springfield. So, road trip.
So as much as
I thought there was a Bucky's in off of Olive.
There's like not. Anyway, moving on.
University City.
Whoa.
No. Yeah. No, these are like the giant gas stations.
Oh, the giant ones. Yeah. Oh, so you're okay. It's not the normal Bucky's.
Yeah, that's
it's
Bucky. That's Bucky Jenkins.
Oh, is that B U C E E?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. I've never heard of it. I'm looking it up.
Andrew's the expert. He's like, there's absolutely not.
But Wally's has got a feel. I mean, Wally's, we had a fantastic time at Wally's, but they got to feel a little bit like, come on,
we just opened.
Yeah, we just opened like 2 months ago.
Well, this Bucky's is going to be in Springfield, so it's quite a ways away.
Mm.
But we had a fantastic time at the Wally's.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same thing. It looks like famous jerky.
Yeah, but Bucky's is even bigger.
Mm. We got to go. We got to all go. DGS field trip.
Yeah,
how far
go.
Away is Springfield?
A couple hours, I'm guessing. I have no idea.
Well, if four? We run out of gas.
It's more like four.
Okay,
four,
4 hours.
That far?
Yeah.
Boy, that's...
Well, we'll go get gas and we'll come back.
Some things are farther away.
Speaking of gas stations, 7-Eleven is bringing back Bring Your Own Cup Day. This is something that was closed down, I'm assuming, because of the pandemic. But 7-Eleven says if it fits in the cup, fill her up. It just takes $1.99 to fill up your own cup.
Oh, that just takes me back to when we were coming back driving from Colorado. Yeah. And just, you know, 12 hours in the car, you're just done. And we stopped somewhere like an hour away from St. Louis at a Quick Trip. And the O'Doyle family was in front of me. Even the mom had a burr haircut. And they all had their giant QT. And they're just like eight of them. It looked like the evolution of man. And they're all just like, look, they got Mountain Dew and it's spelled wrong, Dad. I could have just plugged every one of them in the back of the head.
Wow.
Does Quick Trip have Slurpees?
They have
like ices.
They have something like that.
Yeah. They have slushies.
Yeah.
I just want a classic Coke. Half Coke, half cherry.
Like Kmart.
The two flavors. Two flavors. That was all that we had. I'm really making a statement.
Back in the good old days.
Just your classic.
And we liked it.
We did. It was exciting.
Okay, this is a really cool story. So a dog that was missing for 2 months was found alive inside a Missouri cave. Her name is Abby. Making her tail, no pun intended, even more amazing is the fact that she's just weeks shy of turning 14 years old, but she managed to survive nearly 60 days out on her own, mostly in a cave, and that's she's crazy. Been reunited with her family.
She was 500
it was down
feet.
Perryville.
Yeah, 500 feet into the... What did she do?
Yeah, like, what'd she eat?
That's a great question, and only Abby knows.
Bugs.
Bugs.
Maybe.
Mice.
Maybe bugs.
Yeah, we don't like to think about her eating rats and mice, but that's probably the main thing. Anyway, maybe a bat. Moving on.
That's okay.
The NBA has announced that they will not play any games on Election Day. They say voting and election day are obviously unique and incredibly important to our democracy, and that's part of the value proposition that we want to make sure people understand, is that voting is unlike anything else. So they won't be playing any games in an effort to encourage people to get out and vote.
I know it's a conversation every year, but I am kind of surprised that people don't get a day off or things aren't closed on election day. I mean, we close for religious things. You think we would close for something as important as electing a president, at least.
Couldn't agree more. How is election day not a day off for everybody?
And even when they're like, oh, yeah, you get your guaranteed 2 hours off, most employers are like, yeah,
right,
kind of, yeah. But not really. All right, and my final story here, this is great news for people who need hearing aids. The FDA just made a huge move. People will be able to get hearing aids over the counter and probably for much cheaper now. So up until now, you had to get a prescription, you had to visit a doctor, and the average price for the devices is more than $5,000. But now that they're over the counter, it's going to make them more easily accessible for a lot of people.
Maybe I would feel differently if it were my actual reality, but I know that it's a trope, and I know that it's real in life that people, I think especially men, fight getting hearing aids because it makes you look old. Mm-hmm. I've never understood that. Like, I understand some things, but if it's the difference between me hearing and not hearing, like, yeah, give me the hearing aid.
Oh, yeah.
I feel you, but you never know how you'll actually feel when the time comes.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that, too, but... You
it's
know.
Been an awkward segment. Let's
yeah,
just
sorry. That's 100% my fault.
Just,
but it's over now, so we can take comfort in that.
Yeah, suddenly jealous of that dog in the cave. thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Eating rats.
Yeah.
Maybe a bat.
Maybe a bat.
COVID-22 is the dog
oh,
eating
no.
bats. When he comes back up, we're like, let's all pet him. 423 DGS. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have Gene Evans and Ian Mackey, who are in the green room. I think they drove here together. So this should be a good think tank. Right now, we have the audio segment. Who's going first?
I'll do mine first. So today is Madonna's 64th birthday.
Happy birthday, Madonna.
So I'm going to play a Madonna song. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. We're just going to listen to Holiday over and over. So because we talked about this recently, her Truth or Dare documentary, that was of her 1990 Blonde Ambition tour. And this was the moment where Kevin Costner's career tanked. They're backstage. Warren Beatty's back there. I think Olivia Newton-John, Sandra Bernhardt, Al Pacino, and then Kevin Costner walks in.
Hi.
You were great.
Thank you.
You were great. Thanks for having us. That was really generous.
Sure. Thanks for coming.
We thought it was neat.
Neat?
Yeah, really neat. Yeah.
No one's ever described it quite that way. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Okay. Have fun tonight. Well, I don't think we'll be making that other deal.
Oh, really? Not neat enough for you?
Nah, well, not quite. No, we've got to put the kids, we got to get with the kids.
Okay.
So I'm going to give them this.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
Neat. Anybody who says my show is neat has to go.
So once he turns around, she sticks her finger down her throat like, and then she says, anyone who says neat has to go. And
did they ever like talk about that again or make up or anything?
I think she may have said something in the press, and then in the press he said, oh, I've gotten over it. I accept your apology. But, I mean, he really was, like, kind of a loser after that. People really disliked him after that, all because of her.
I remember a guy I was in a band with settled some kind of a lawsuit and got a bunch of money, bunch for us. And he offered to buy me this dream drum set, and I'd just pay him back. So I remember being in a guy's basement looking at this amazing, giant Neil Peart drum set. And he had MTV on and Madonna came on. I want to say it was like a virgin, but I could be wrong. But none of us had ever seen her before. And I remember going like, who's that? And he's like, I don't know, but she's hot. And like, there's
so
no
funny.
Idea that she's going to become Madonna.
All right. Mine is, okay, so there was a man who, again, was at a McDonald's and called the police because his fries were cold. But it turns out that he had a warrant out for his arrest because he murdered someone. So he's the genius of the day.
I'm not under arrest or anything, am I?
No, sir. Just come over here and have you sign this real quick.
I said I'm not under arrest or anything.
No, you're not. Yeah, just come over here and have you sign this real quick.
You have to sign it saying that you don't come back to the property.
So you'll fill this part out.
Can I see it, sir?
Yeah. Will you come over here, man?
No, I'm afraid of y'all, sir.
Why are you afraid?
I've been here 3 years, sir.
I'm a friendly.
All right, I'm gonna walk you through. Why are you doing that?
I know how to fill it out.
Why are you doing that?
I know how to fill. Am I all right?
Yeah.
I love that he's like, I'm afraid of you guys, even though I called you because of my cold fries.
I know your work from murdering people.
Oh, boy.
Just the hustle and bustle at the end where he's like, am I under arrest? Yes.
Ah! He goes, no. Like, wait, no, I was kidding. And then mine, the... Oh gosh, I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he used to be the director of the CIA.
Think about something else.
I was thinking about something else. He used to be the
James Clapper.
No, not him. The other one. You know if you've heard his name, but he was on CNN talking about the Trump saying that he could declassify whatever documents he wanted.
Is that how declassification works, even with some of the nation's most guarded secrets?
You know, that's nonsense, and he knows it. The reality is that there is a process for declassifying information. And if presidents want to declassify, they have to follow that process, which basically requires that it be referred to the agencies that are responsible for classifying that material.
Leon Panetta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically saying that that's... He's just making that up on the
spot. It would have been great audio if you could have combined yours and Rachel's.
If Leon not Panetta under arrest, would have been
right? Like, I'm not under arrest, right?
Arresting Leon Panetta. He's like, wait. No. That's not what I meant.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Tuesday, 4:38. Two of my favorites. We have Gene Evans and Ian Mackey. Good to see you guys. How are you?
Great. How are you, Dave?
Doing great. Everything's good. We're just talking sports and volleyball. And yeah. I wondered if you played sports.
Yeah, I still play volleyball. So I still play sand doubles, beach doubles. And I was down in Fort Lauderdale the Senior Olympics. I went down there and played. That was awesome.
Wait, you didn't play in the Senior Olympics?
I did.
Do this to me.
Yeah, I did.
Because we're pretty close in age.
It's 15 over. So they have different age brackets. Yeah. I mean, they have people, you know, there are 200-year-old sprinters. One's female, one's male, that are just phenomenal. But yeah, that was a couple months ago, but it's an awesome, awesome event. But yeah, when you say like, I think senior, I think like a lot older than me, right? Yeah. But no, I did qualify for Senior Olympics.
So, damn. Yeah. That hurt me. It wasn't even me. Okay. So let's get it out of the way. Let's talk about the raid. Just general thoughts, you know, surprised, not surprised. It was a good idea. It was a bad idea. Ian started off.
Yeah. I mean, I guess not surprised. You know, it seemed, I mean, there was a subpoena that went out beforehand asking for these documents and some were handed over and there were a few boxes kept behind. Those were the subject of the raid. And I don't think it's a surprise that the former president would try to cover up any evidence that he was involved in planning the insurrection or that he was talking with foreign adversaries when it came to, you know, what seems like is nuclear information or whatever else might be contained in those boxes. Obviously, we're operating on leaks to the press at this point and not necessarily hard news. But no, it's not surprising at all. And of course, it's, you know, if it's the right decision, if the evidence is there, the evidence went to a judge. The judge examined evidence that we're not privy to here at this table and said, yes, this meets the standard for a search warrant. And one was executed on Mar-a-Lago and took several hours to carry out. And we'll learn, I think, shortly. What the consequences of that might be.
Do you worry at all, like Bill Maher, that this may have given Donald Trump renewed life in his campaign that he didn't have at the moment?
That's not the question you have to calculate and ask yourself if you're Merrick Garland or the Department of Justice. Your job is to prevent crime from taking place, to punish those who've committed it so that it doesn't happen again. And, you know, this has been the tale from the beginning of Donald Trump. Well, don't provoke him. Well, don't agitate him. Oh, my gosh, you guys, he won in 2016 because the liberals were just too antagonistic. I mean, come on. You can't forecast what his reaction is going to be and let that determine whether or not, you know, it's never the wrong time to do the right thing.
That's interesting you say that. I would agree with you, but I've always thought this. I've had a couple of people in my life who were just bullies. One of them was a client many, many years ago, and they always got what they asked for, but they never got one thing more. Because no one liked him. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But that whole thing, like, just do it. Don't provoke them. Like, everyone's got that person in their family, right? Like, don't upset them. Don't rattle the cage.
Right. Don't push their buttons. Yeah.
I've always hated that.
Yeah. And I don't think this is pushing his buttons. I mean, this is, you know, if Barack Obama had taken boxes out of the White House that he wasn't supposed to.
Which he did.
And put, no, he didn't. They're in the presidential archives in Illinois. Mm-hmm. They're under lock and key and guard. They're not at his house. That is not at all the same. And if he had just taken them off to his basement and kept them under his own lock and key, just mm-hmm. imagine the outrage and imagine, you know, folks on the other side calling for the Justice Department to do something about that.
Okay. So, there's still a lot to be learned, and I know it's not popular, but I kind of like to wait for all the facts to come out. So whether or not this should have happened or whatever, we don't know. But politically, it did breathe new life into Trump. And one of the examples I would give you is this happened last Monday. There were several primaries on Tuesday, and the turnout for the Trump-endorsed, Trump-inspired, Trump-aligned candidates helped put some of them over the top. The folks I know that worked in those states were just blown away by how much it impacted. There was a very tight race for the Republican nominee in Wisconsin, and the Trump-endorsed candidate beat the former, she was lieutenant governor, but a very qualified candidate, by like 2 points. And the Speaker of the House up there only won by like 200 points from a guy who sits in his basement and does QAnon stuff. So it made Trump the victim again. And what I would say is, you know, people that I've known for years who knew me long before I got into politics will contact me sometimes on these things and ask, and not necessarily Trump supporters, but saying, what is going on? Like, if they can just come and do that, they'll do it to anyone, one. And two, comes on the heels of them having this bill to hire all these IRS agents, and you've got small business folks and average everyday Americans worried about, why are we hiring so many IRS agents when I call the IRS and I can't get them to answer a question? So I can't get a question answered, but they're going to break down my door if I do something wrong. So I think it was a 1-2 punch. I do think that it helps Trump. I don't think it hurts him. Now, if there's something in there that can possibly prosecute him, it hurts him. But the more they kind of stonewall this, the more it helps him and the longer he's going to stick around. So politically, I think that's where we're at.
It fascinates me that I understand people disagree about everything. People disagree about donuts, whatever. But on Trump, it seems to be either, oh my God, he's done so much worse than this. I mean, let's catch him at something, right? The guy's a complete criminal. Or it's, here they go again, witch hunt. They can't win traditionally, so they're doing this. If you guys knew the answer to this, you wouldn't be on my show. But right. What do you think? Like, where's that divide? Like, it is such a divide.
Well, there's such a, you know, just and you guys were talking about this earlier, the credibility of our institutions is shot. You know, everything from, you know, we had President Biden say repeatedly, if you get the COVID vaccine, you won't get COVID. The man has now had it twice, and now his wife has it, as well as millions of other Americans who got this shot. That's one example. This stuff with the Steele dossier that turned out to be all a bunch of garbage, and they prosecuted Trump over that for years. They're still talking about it, and the mainstream media has never really owned up to the fact that that was all a made-up story that they bought into. So you've got people who just don't believe these sort of institutions that they used to believe in, and I don't think that's a new thing. I mean, yellow journalism has been around for years. I mean, there are wars that started over this, but there is a way of playing to the, you know, you read the things that support the whatever you want to believe. And as long as we continue to have this sensationalistic sort of information society, I don't even call it journalism because it's an information society. I mean, you can go on Reddit and find all kinds of crazy stuff. And I will tell you, like, almost everybody I know under 30 gets their news from Reddit, and it's not vetted whatsoever. So as long as that continues, you're just going to have this lack of faith in institutions, whether it's government or journalism or, you know, whatever. And so they're going to continue to have this mistrust. Same thing with Greitens. He had his diehard supporters. And then, you know, those of us who knew him were less impressed with him. But I don't know what I would have thought if I had just seen news reports. But knowing him personally, I knew that he was not a quality human being. At least.
Yeah. I mean, I think we talked last time I was here about, you know, one thing that I think a lot of us agree on is the sources of our information and what's changed between, you know, our parents or our grandparents' generation where news came from three broadcast network channels. You had three different anchors to choose from when you got home and made dinner at 5:30 and that's how you got your news, or when you opened up the paper in the morning and you talked about that paper when you got to work, you read the same articles. You had different points of view about what you read. You had different ways of sorting through those facts. But you got it from, in large part, the same source. What is interesting is, you know, there have been some polls about where folks get their media and where folks consume information. It still is in large part from broadcast network television.
Right.
That is still where the vast majority of people get their news. But it's rapidly changing. It's more and more, and like Gene was saying, the younger folks, younger generations getting it less and less from that source.
They're unplugged. I'm sure your kids, do they, like, watch regular TV?
No.
My daughter and her husband are in their late 20s.
But we're Amish. I mean,
but they don't have cable. They don't even have cable. Like, they don't watch that anymore.
4:53 DGS. Happy Tuesday to you. We have Gene Evans and Ian Mackey here. 2 minutes. Quick question. Ian, you were referencing how I grew up with three networks and three anchors. Today we have this tsunami of information. You can't cherry pick. If you had to pick one, and your goal is to get the best information, do you go back to Walter Cronkite, or do you say, no, we'll take the fire hose version of it?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, it's different even since I have been an adult news consumer. I used to have this routine every single night where I would watch Chris Matthews followed by Bill O'Reilly. And Chris Matthews and Bill O'Reilly would both bring on people they disagreed with. And an hour on each of those shows was Matthews and Riley respectively debating people they disagreed with. And it was entertaining.
Yep.
I learned.
Agreed.
It was newsworthy. It was great. It's you know, whether you're watching CNN or MSNBC or Fox News, that's not happening anymore. In large part, it's not really up to the anchors. It's folks won't go on those shows. They invite folks and they have a hard time, even the network channels. If you watch Meet the Press or Face the Nation, or I mean, it's
I got bombed on CNN and they totally did not talk about what we said we're going to talk about. They set a trap for me. And now when they call, I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't, you know, I'm not going on there again because you fool me once. Right. And
yeah,
so
sure.
I won't do it. And that people don't consider them partisan. But after that, I was like, no way.
Yeah. I mean, I still think there's some great. A lot of folks would think it's boring. I think it's interesting. There's a lot of great content on PBS, and there's still a lot of great roundtables from folks, you know, who present.
Left leaning too. Sorry.
Well, I mean, when you get George Will and David Brooks at a table discussing issues, I think they're pretty. Nobody's ever accused either of those folks from. I mean, maybe they're never Trumpers, I guess, in some sense. But I think that still keeps them safely in the Republican camp, along with some others who are regular contributors and bring up conservative viewpoints on a routine basis. No, you're probably not going to get. The insurrectionist viewpoint on PBS, but you'll get just about every other one.
Going to do another long segment at the top of the hour with Gene and Ian. Again, if you want to join in, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.